Our scripture reading this morning, as we continue in sort of my greatest hits of the gospel, as I'm calling it for this month of July, as I'm here with you, comes from Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. It reads like this. He also told this parable to some who trusted themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, was praying thus, God, I thank you that I'm not like those other people, thieves and rogues, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all my income. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even look up to heaven. He was beating his breast and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his home justified rather than the other. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, but all who humble themselves will be exalted. The gospel is not an if-then proposition. I propose today that instead the gospel of Jesus Christ is a because proposition. We'll get there a little bit more in a minute, but first I want to start with the idea that we started with in children's time this morning about being humble. So this could be a really simple sermon. Two words, one slide, be humble. That's what this scripture passage is all about, right? That the tax collector in the scripture is obviously the one that is humble in this moment. And this parable is obviously a lesson to you and I about what humility looks like and what it looks like as a follower of Jesus to be humble. So I don't think we're probably even at, what, 2 or 3 minutes today. So unfortunately, I'm going to keep yammering on, because when's the last time, number one, when's the last time you heard a preacher shut up after 2 minutes, okay? Number two, when is the last time you knew a parable of Jesus to be simple and straightforward and to the point, and something you could understand the first time you read it, and something that didn't have a million bajillion different interpretations of meanings? That's absolutely not what we understand about the parables of Jesus, right? So this is a message, this is a scripture passage that has much more meat on the bone than simply just these two words, be humble. So let's look a little closer at the Pharisee and the tax collector today. So we learned that the Pharisee is in that temple that day doing exactly what a Pharisee does well, and that is following every rule, memorizing the law, and doing what they are supposed to be able to do to fulfill the work of a Pharisee. And so he has come to temple this day, and he has given a tenth of his income, and he has been able to check off the list at the temple that day of what laws he had been able to follow that week as far as cleanliness laws or giving laws or how we treat our neighbors. You know, I just imagine that he probably had a checklist that day in the temple that he was able to check off. So the Pharisee is living what I think you could say is his best Pharisee life in this scripture passage this day. He's there at the temple early. He's praying like he should. He's given what he should. He's able to check off all the boxes, following the laws, fulfilling the scriptures, doing what he needs to do to be a Pharisee. And he even sort of takes it up a notch, if you will, when he's able to look over and see a tax collector there on the other side of the temple and use him in his prayer as a living, breathing example of what he isn't. So I'm a Pharisee, God, and you know that I give a tenth of my income and I pray and I follow all the rules and laws. I am not this tax collector. And I'm sure that you know from the Gospels that tax collectors were seen as kind of less than human beings at that time. I don't know about you, but sometimes tax collectors, I mean, they might still have a little bit of a thing in our society, but it's way worse, way worse in biblical times. These are people that took advantage of people constantly. These are people that did not tell the truth. You remember the most famous tax collector. You learned a song about him in Sunday school, Wee Little Man, Zacchaeus, right? So tax collectors were like the bottom of the bottom of the bottom of the rung when it came to people in the temple, because Pharisees knew that tax collectors weren't following the laws. They weren't giving a tenth of their income. They didn't have time to pray because they were too busy cheating everyone else. So the Pharisee had a living, breathing example of what he didn't want to be and what he wanted to make clear to God in prayer that day. He wasn't. So thank God I'm not like this tax collector. Thank God I'm not like this tax collector. The tax collector is an interesting character for me here because he finds himself beating his chest and saying, "Have mercy on me, oh God, I'm a sinner." So he's having this moment where he's realizing that what he's been doing is wrong and he's asking for forgiveness and he wants to move forward as a better follower of God. But before we go any further this morning, I want to maybe read your mind a little bit. I don't want to freak you out, but I think it's really easy for us as human beings to read this scripture and pick which character we're going to be. We like to put ourselves in the shoes of one or the other. I have a hunch that most of us have probably already picked which character. This is a quiz. You don't have to raise your hand because you don't have to be vulnerable and out there with your neighbor, but I'm wondering how many of you gleefully and willfully and excitedly thought, "I'm be just like the Pharisee." Anybody? I had a feeling that we're all kind of sitting with, what would it look like if we were the tax collector in this story, right? That's who we would want to be, asking for forgiveness, confessing. But again, before you go any further down that road this morning, I would warn you that it's a trap. It's a trap. Anybody a Star Wars fan? I love Star Wars. Love Star Wars, so I had to put a Star Wars reference in for you at some time. This is Admiral Akbar. He's from the original trilogy, like back in the 70s. This is his only line in the entire trilogy. They're going into some situation, and he says it's a trap. And that's what I want to stop you with this morning, with assigning yourself as one or the other character, either the Pharisee or tax collector, because I would warn you that it's a trap to try and be either the Pharisee or tax collector. I would almost kind of just encourage you to know that there's a little bit of Pharisee in all of us. There's a little bit of tax collector in all of us. And if we get caught up in saying, "Thank God I'm not like that Pharisee who brags and is proud and follows all the rules and expects to get God's love in return," well, to me, that's sounding a little familiar. Thank God I'm not like the Pharisee. Remember, we just had the Pharisee say, "Thank God I'm not like the tax collector." So it can be a trap, looking at this scripture and trying to figure out what it means to you and I and who we are in the scriptures. And what I want to encourage you again today to realize is that we're all a little bit of both. We have our Pharisees moments, we have our tax collector moments, and God redeems all of those moments for us. So I think it's easy as a follower of Jesus to fall into that Pharisee trap sometimes, right? We've all had those moments where we've looked at other folks and thought, "Why can't they just figure it out the way I have? Why can't they just have the same amount of faith I have? Why can't they give the same amount of money? Why can't they sign up to teach Sunday school? Why can't they fill in the blank? You all know, you've had those moments. It's very human for us to compare our faith to one another's faith and wonder, why? Why are we the ones that seem to be able to get it, but others can't? But I'd encourage you this morning that you've had moments like the tax collector too. You've had moments where you've confessed that you've done something wrong and you've kind of stayed there a little bit too long, right? So like, God, I'm a terrible, awful person. There's no redeeming me. I've messed up way too much this time. That's what I imagine the tax collector going to this morning. And what I think humility is about is being able to see that we're both each character at times, and knowing that without God, we can't transform to look not like a Pharisee and not like a tax collector, but like the beloved child of God that we each are. This is a trap of a scripture because it gets us stuck in something that a public theologian that I've read and devoured pretty much everything she's written, every sermon she's ever preached, her name's Nadia Boltz-Weber, and she says that the gospel is not an if-then proposition. It's a because, a yellow brick road proposition, if you will. So if I lost you on Star Wars, go back a few decades, we're at Wizard of Oz now, okay? So we're off to see the wizard, the wonderful Wizard of Oz. Then I always mess up the little bit, so that it's really fast, but it ends with because. And Nadia makes the argument that the gospel is not an if-then idea. It's a because. Because God so loved the world, God sent Jesus. If I give a tenth of all my income and follow all the rules and check off all the lists and figure it out and have faith perfectly every day, then you'll love me, is the Pharisee understanding, right? If I beat my chest and fall down in front of you and beg for forgiveness and stay down here and that I'm a terrible, awful person and there's no way you could ever redeem me, God, and I'm unlovable, then surely you'll love me. Neither one of those work when it comes to the gospel, to the love and grace of Jesus Christ. Instead, it's because God so loved the world, we are able to be set free. When Kip messaged me this last week and said that he was using reckless love of God, I thought that is the perfect, that bridge that he was saying, there's nothing we can do. Nothing we can do to get away from God's love. And every lie I've told, this lie of like, I've done it all perfectly and I got it figured out this time and my faith is perfect and now, because I've done that, you're going to love me. And the times in my lives where I've told the lie of, I am good for nothing. I am not beloved. I've messed it up too bad this time, God, right? That's a lie. That's a lie that God doesn't believe. Instead, it's right here in the because love of God. Perhaps we could have started this morning with Golda Meir, who is the first prime minister of Israel, with this quote that I just love. I think it sums it up perfectly. Don't be humble. You're not that great. Humility is a tricky one. And I'm not sure that this parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector shows us as much as it does about humility as it does about the love of God. Did you notice at the end of the scripture? If you didn't, you can go back. I think it's about verse 12. Did you notice that it says, this man went away forgiven? doesn't say which man, folks. It doesn't tell us Pharisee or tax collector. Jesus doesn't make it clear. I think it's gracious. There it is. I tell you, this man went down to his home justified. This man. Well, what man? I think it's the gracious nature and love of God to know. It's both men. It's all of us. It's all of us that get to go home and be forgiven and find God's amazing love once again in our lives. Will you pray with me? God, we admit and confess this morning that there's been times when we've treated your gospel as an if-then proposition. We've forgotten, oh God, that there's nothing we can do to earn your love. There's no checklist. There's no certain amount of giving of time or talent. There's no amount of self-deprecation or hatred that we can give ourselves to earn your love. Because, God, because you are gracious, you are loving, you accept us just as you find us. Because of that, we are able to go from this place forgiven and set free by your amazing grace. We thank you. We love you. We lift this to you in the name of Jesus by the power of your Spirit. Amen.